You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
Last week, U.S. President Barack Obama delivered the first major speech of his second term on U.S. foreign policy. Specifically, he highlighted his use of drones and the prisoners still confined in Guantanamo. In the audience was Medea Benjamin, co-founder of the feminist anti-war group Code Pink. Her interchange with Obama became a major and surprising part of this event. As Medea Benjamin was being hauled out, Obama told the audience, quote, "The voice of that woman is worth paying attention to." We couldn't agree more, and to that end, we've contacted Medea Benjamin in Fort Meade, Maryland, where she is participating in a demonstration to support another voice of courage, that of Bradley Manning. Greetings, Medea, and congratulations on your effective challenge to President Obama.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Is there anything that Obama could have said that would have convinced you not to interrupt his speech?
Yes, there were many things he could have said that would have convinced me. One of them would be that he was announcing that there would be no more signature strikes with drones where people are killed just on the basis of suspicious behavior, and that he was, as part of that, taking drones out of the hands of the CIA, which had done most of those signature strikes. He could have said that he was announcing that the 86 prisoners who'd been cleared for release from Guantanamo were actually scheduled for release, and the first ones would be leaving as of next week. He could have announced that, just like in Afghanistan, where we have a policy to track civilian casualties, apologize, and compensate innocent victims, we would now start doing the same thing with the victims of our drone strikes. Those are some of the things that he could have said.
So, in your view, the interruptions, the challenges that you made, were because nothing significant was being said that would indicate a real change in policy?
Well, that's right. I think there were a lot of words that could be interpreted in different ways, and we already see the interpretations have been dramatically different. Some saying he announced a change that would mean that there would be fewer drone strikes, and then yet, 1 week after his announcement, there's already been another drone strike in Pakistan and another one in Yemen. And then in terms of Guantanamo, he certainly has been saying for 5 years now that he wants to close it. And it was nice that he said that he would lift the ban on sending them back to Yemen. But that was a ban that his own administration had put in place, and it wasn't accompanied by any announcement that we would be actually releasing those prisoners from Yemen. In fact, what he said is that there would be another case-by-case look at this, and it's been 11 years in which they have had a chance to look case-by-case. So I think that the announcements were really more nice words, interpretation left open for the administration to keep doing what it wants to do.
Now, some media referred to your challenge to Obama during his speech as heckling, and you've expressed that you object to that characterization. Explain why.
Yes, I think heckling is when you're actually trying to embarrass somebody. It's a very negative connotation. I wasn't trying to embarrass the president. I was trying to bring up issues that had not been brought up in his speech that were important, and that the media should have been asking him every single week, but unfortunately hadn't been doing. And so I think it's not heckling. It's using our First Amendment right to free speech. It's using our rights as citizens. Actually, I would say our duties as citizens to speak up. And so I don't like the characterization of heckling.
I found it ironic on CNN television, the host interviewed you, and her one and only concern was that you were being impolite by interrupting Obama's speech. And she consistently, as you began to try and explain this, interrupted you to just repeat herself again.
Well, that's right. I think so much of the reaction has been this silliness about rudeness when it should be really about the issues. Although I must say I was pleasantly surprised that not only did Obama say the voice is a voice that should be listened to, but I have gotten a lot of opportunities since then to talk about the issues, perhaps not on that CNN show, but other shows have wanted to go into the crux of the issues and given me an opportunity to say why it is that I was so upset about not hearing the real policy changes, why there were certain things that Obama said that were just wrong. For example, him saying that it was his government policy to capture prisoners instead of killing them, which is just not true. And I've been able to cite many specific examples where it would have been very easy to capture somebody who was then killed by a drone instead. So it's helped open up the conversation. And I think if I hadn't done that, the conversation would have been Obama wants to wind down the drone program and close down Guantanamo, but he's stopped by these terrible right-wing Republicans who won't let him do this.
You mentioned the statement he made as you were being pushed out of the meeting by security people, that, quote, the voice of that woman, referring to you, is worth paying attention to. That took me by surprise, certainly, that he chose to respect the importance of your point of view, even though he wasn't prepared to allow its full an open expression. Do you have any explanation as to why he conceded that compliment?
I don't know. I think he's a very good politician, and he realized that it was better to be diplomatic than to try to belittle me. But I actually think that he probably does agree with a lot of what I said, even though he said that he didn't. How could he not agree with some of the comments like, I love the rule of law and the Constitution, let's start obeying the rule of law. It's not a question of agreeing or disagreeing. I said that he, as the president, has authority to release those 86 Guantanamo prisoners. Why isn't he just doing it? And then about the people who've been killed by our drones, he said in his speech that he was haunted by the innocent people that have been killed. And maybe indeed he has been, and maybe that was one of the reasons he said, basically, let me have my say, respected the some of the things that I was speaking out about.
Your challenges to Obama were numerous, and you sustained them. Didn't his security people try to stop you earlier?
Well, that's a pretty funny question, because actually what you saw in the media clips was it looked like I had free rein to be speaking there, and that was not the case. There were people from the Army base, from the FBI, from the Secret Service, who all started surrounding me and demanding that I be quiet, telling me I was being arrested, and starting to put their hands on me to drag me out. And I was saying, you know, don't put your hands on me, I'll scream, and the president will be very upset with that. We're actually engaging in a dialogue now, and I don't think you want to interrupt this. You will regret it. And so I was having sort of this other conversation going on with the people around me at the time, trying to buy more time, which I think worked, because everybody was sort of taken by surprise and didn't know how to react, and thought that, yes, perhaps really dragging me out, because I wasn't going to go easily, would have been embarrassing.
You're at a rally now that's preparing for the trial of Bradley Manning, certainly a kindred spirit. Is there a thought you'd like to share about the Bradley Manning trial?
It's very sad under this Obama administration that he has gone after more whistleblowers than any other president, and that somebody who has given us so much information that we need to know what our government and other governments around the world are doing in our names should be facing life in trial is an indictment of our supposed democratic system. And so I think those of us who are outside here rallying from around the country are here to say that Bradley Manning is our hero, that if anybody deserves the Nobel Peace Prize, it's Bradley Manning, not President Barack Obama.
Well, thank you very much, Medea, and also good luck with the continuing work to end drone strikes and to get the release of the Guantanamo prisoners.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me on, Mordecai.
Bye-bye. Our guest has been Medea Benjamin. She's an activist. She's an author of the book Drone Warfare, and she's co-founder of the organization Code Pink. And if you'd like more information about Code Pink and their various campaigns, you can go to their website. It's simply codepinkforpeace.com.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@coopradio.org.